This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Welcome to Community News, covering the towns of Webster, Dudley, Oxford, Douglas, Northbridge, Uxbridge, Whitensville, Upton, Milford, Mendon, and Blackstone. This program is sponsored by the Lions Clubs of Oxford and Uxbridge. And thanks to the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind for their ongoing support. In the next hour, we will be bringing you news from the Webster Times, Blackstone Valley Tribune, and the New Uxbridge Times. Today, we will be reading from the June 12th editions. This is Jennifer Antkowiak, along with David Jaffe. Soter supports state funding for municipal road and bridge repairs. The House and Senate have authorized a $300 million Chapter 90 appropriation for cities and towns to assist with municipal road and bridge repairs, with the support of State Rep. Michael Soter, Republican from Bellingham. The funding was included as part of a $4.58 billion transportation bond bill enacted in both branches on June 4th. The bill is now before Governor Maura Healey for her review, with a June 14th deadline to sign the bill into law. House Bill 5375, an act financing long-term improvements to municipal roads and bridges, allocates $200 million in Chapter 90 funding for fiscal year 2027, using the program's traditional weighted formula that is based on a community's local road mileage, 58.33%, population, 20.83%, and employment levels, 20.83%. An additional $100 million will be distributed to cities and towns based solely on a community's local road mileage as a way to ensure that rural communities with smaller populations receive their fair share of state funding assistance to help maintain their local transportation infrastructure. Established by the legislature in 1973, the Chapter 90 program offers state funding assistance to cities and towns on a reimbursable basis to help pay for maintaining roads, bridges, and sidewalks. Representative Soter said the 8th Worcester District is slated to receive a total of $2,976,119.79 under the bill, $1,851,928.16 coming under the traditional formula, and $1,124,191.63 based on local road mileage. The House also passed H5470 on June 4th, the Fair Share Supplement Conference Committee report, which is estimated to provide the district with an additional $899,354 in Chapter 90 funding. In addition to the Chapter 90 funding, House Bill 5375 also includes $500 million for the Bridge and Pavement Lifecycle Asset Management Program, $200 million for transportation capital projects, $200 million for the Parkway Resilience Improvement and Safety Modernization PRISM program, which provides accelerated deferred maintenance, modernization, and safety improvements for multimodal transportation infrastructure under the control of the Department of Conservation and Recreation, and $200 million for the implementation of rail improvements, including the design and acquisition of commuter rail locomotives. Soter noted that House Bill 5375 also reauthorizes $3 billion in funding for several transportation-related initiatives that were previously approved under the 2022 Transportation Bond Bill. This includes funding for interstate and non-interstate federal highway system projects, non-federally aided roadway and bridge projects, and the non-participating share of federally aided projects, municipal roadway pavement and surface condition improvements, and the Public Realm Improvement Program, which supports grants to municipalities for improvements to sidewalks, streets, and parking spaces to create additional capacity for pedestrians and cyclists. BVT to dispose of records for class of 2019. Attention Blackstone Valley Regional Vocational Technical High School class of 2019. In accordance with state and federal regulations, temporary student records, including special education files, IEP, 504 plans, and student health records, will be destroyed 7 years after a student leaves the school. For the class of 2019, records are scheduled for destruction on August 6, 2026. Members of the class of 2019 may request their temporary student records, any information not contained in their transcript, before the August 6th shred date by submitting a written request. If you want to obtain your record, please send a written request indicating the year of graduation and your name while attending school to Blackstone Valley Regional Vocational Technical High School to Student Services Records Department, 65 Pleasant Street, Upton, Mass., 01568. Student transcripts, records of grades, will be retained for 60 years after a student leaves the school. For the class of 2019, transcripts are scheduled for destruction on August 6, 2079. Alumni may request transcripts at any time between 2019 graduation and August 6, 2079. If you want to retain your records, learn how to at www.valleytech.k12.ma.us/student-records. Grafton resident surpasses $1 million donated to Make-A-Wish. Auburn businessman and Grafton resident Bill Murphy recently surpassed over $1 million in lifetime giving to Make-A-Wish, Massachusetts and Rhode Island. His significant support has helped to grant the wishes of more than 100 local children with critical illnesses. During a special ceremony at the charity's Boston office, Murphy was honored as the newest Wish Legacy member of the Wishing Well Society, made up of major donors to the nonprofit. For two decades, Murphy has tirelessly worked in support of Make-A-Wish, raising funds and awareness through creative, visible, and physically grueling means spanning traditional to unique. Murphy is also the 2025 recipient of the inaugural Wish Champion Award in recognition of his outstanding support of the mission in central Massachusetts. Already somewhat familiar with Make-A-Wish, as his cousin was a Wish recipient, and having watched Make-A-Wish stories on ESPN's My Wisheries, Murphy was inspired 20 years ago to learn more after seeing the joy of Wish Kids at Walt Disney World Resort. From completing a marathon on crutches while raising funds for Make-A-Wish Massachusetts and Rhode Island, to serving on the charity's board of directors, and as a founding member and chair of its Central Massachusetts Advisory Council, his commitment over the years has only grown. In addition to his personal efforts, Murphy also supports the organization through his company, Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation, for which he is the local branch manager in Auburn. This milestone isn't mine. It belongs to everyone who believed in this mission and showed up. Through my Fairway family, my clients, my family, friends, and my business partners, we have collectively crossed over $1 million in donations to Make-A-Wish Massachusetts and Rhode Island. I never could have imagined when this journey started what it would become or what it would mean, reflects Murphy. In 2024, Murphy's Running the World for Wishes campaign brought his support to truly unbelievable levels. He ran 7 marathons on 7 continents in 7 days in the Great World Race. As if that weren't impressive enough, Murphy raised nearly $300,000 for the organization through that effort, funding the wishes of 24 children. Over his years of giving, the mission has been very personal to Murphy. He has involved his own children in his fundraising efforts, and he has formed bonds with many of the Wish recipients whose wishes he's helped grant. That includes Julio Varela from Grafton, whose wish for tuition assistance for his freshman year at UMass Amherst was granted in 2023. Varela was on hand last fall to surprise Murphy as guest presenter of the Wish Champion Award to Bill at the Wish Night in the Woo fundraiser hosted in Worcester by Make-A-Wish Massachusetts and Rhode Island. It also includes Bethany Park of Rochdale, who traveled to Walt Disney World Resort in 2017 for her wish. Park first met Murphy when, due to an injury, he crutched 26.2 miles on the track at Worcester State University to fulfill his commitment as a member of the team Make-A-Wish for the Boston Marathon. In 2024, Park ran the final mile of the Great World Race with Murphy and was inspired to begin training as a runner. Murphy helped Park train to run the Falmouth Road Race for Team Make-A-Wish. Bill's phenomenal support of our Wish children reflects his relentless belief in hope and possibility, which are both also central to the Make-A-Wish mission, says Make-A-Wish Massachusetts and Rhode Island CEO Sean Halloran. We are incredibly grateful to him for his unparalleled generosity, which sets an inspiring example for our community of supporters. Murphy, a mortgage industry professional and best-selling author of Thriving in the Storm, 9 Principles to Help You Overcome Any Adversity, is always looking for his next challenge and his next way to give back. He sees no limit to his support for Make-A-Wish and is determined to keep that total growing to advance the charity's vision to grant the wish of every eligible local child. Make-A-Wish doesn't just grant wishes. It gives families something to hold on to during the hardest seasons of their lives. That ripple effect is real, and I've felt it in ways I never anticipated. But the work isn't done, asserts Murphy. $1 million is a chapter, not the ending. There are more kids, more families, more wishes waiting to be made real. And there is so much more awareness to raise about what this organization actually does and the profound impact it creates. If you've already been part of this journey, thank you from the bottom of my heart. If you've been on the sidelines and wondered how to get involved, now is the time. The way I see it, the next million starts today. To learn more about Make-A-Wish Massachusetts and Rhode Island and opportunities to get involved in supporting the mission as the charity works to fulfill 130 wishes for local children this summer, visit www.massri.wish.org. Open Sky awarded $250,000 housing grant. Open Sky Community Services, a nonprofit behavioral health and human services organization, was awarded $250,000 Housing for Everyone grant from the TD Charitable Foundation, the giving arm of TD Bank US, to support the agency's comprehensive services for individuals at risk of homelessness in Central Mass. Our community continues to face significant housing challenges that demand a comprehensive community-based response, said Ken Bates, Open Sky president and CEO. This contribution will have an immediate and meaningful impact on individuals at risk of homelessness, and most importantly, it will help save lives. Thanks to the generosity of the TD Charitable Foundation, we can continue to advance housing stability and help individuals and families achieve greater economic mobility. Open Sky's existing tenancy preservation team engages with vulnerable and at-risk populations ages 55 and over, with resources to stabilize housing access and prevent eviction and homelessness. The specialized model offers case management, clinical services, and recovery-based support while connecting individuals to social service programs, skills training, and additional resources. Through the Housing for Everyone grant, the program will be expanded to support adults under the age of 55. At TD, we believe that supporting organizations dedicated to preventing eviction is not only a philanthropic commitment, but a meaningful investment in the long-term stability of our communities, said Paige Carlson-Heim, head of the social impact at TD and director of TD Charitable Foundation. When renters stay housed, neighborhoods remain strong, and local economies more resilient. The work of Open Sky is vital in helping renters navigate challenges before they escalate, promoting the stability for families and the communities they call home. Open Sky is among 40 nonprofit organizations across TD's footprint to receive funding through the grant program, which supports solutions that foster early intervention, advance housing stability, and decisively address housing challenges for renters in low to moderate income communities. For more information, please visit www.openskycs.org.
Hi, this is David Jaffe reading the Webster Times for Friday, June 12th, 2026. Sheriff swears in Webster and Charlton residents as correctional officers. Worcester County Sheriff Lou Evangelides recently administered the correctional officer oath to 14 graduates of the Worcester County Sheriff's Office 65th Basic Recruit Training Academy, BRTA, during a ceremony at the department's Training and Command Center in West Boylston. Among the graduates were officers Christian Cruz and Gabriel Cruz Pena of Webster and Matthew Clark of Charlton, who completed the Sheriff's Office 13-week correctional officer training program. The Academy prepares recruits for careers at the Worcester County Jail and House of Correction through classroom instruction and hands-on training in areas including de-escalation techniques, defensive tactics, first responder protocols, mental health awareness, suicide prevention, and physical fitness. The graduating class includes recruits from 7 Massachusetts communities, including 3 active duty service members or veterans of the United States Army. After 13 rigorous weeks of training, I'm proud to present some of the best and brightest future leaders in corrections, said Evangelides. I'm confident these graduates are prepared to join our ranks and help advance our mission of public safety. Before entering the academy, applicants must complete a written examination, a physical fitness assessment, a comprehensive background investigation, and a psychological screening. To promote fairness and integrity in the hiring process, Evangelides maintains a policy of prohibiting letters of recommendation from elected officials and provides hiring preference to individuals who have honorably served in the United States Armed Forces. The Worcester County Sheriff's Office is currently accepting applications for its 66th Basic Recruit Training Academy, which begins in September of 2026. For more information, visit www.worcestercountysheriff.com/careers/correctionalofficer academy. Explore the world of adventure at Sea Scout Open House, June 23rd. Anchors away! All adventure-seeking maritime enthusiasts and young sailors-to-be are invited to join us at the Sea Scout Open House on Tuesday, June 23rd, from 4 to 8 p.m. at the Webster Sailing Association, 4 Bates Point Road. Hosted by Sea Scout Ship 1935, this event promises to be a thrilling voyage of discovery for all ages. Sea Scouting is an exciting program that offers young individuals an opportunity to learn the skills and values necessary for a lifetime of water-based adventures, leadership, and community engagement. Our open house is the perfect opportunity for families, potential Sea Scouts, and anyone interested in maritime adventures to learn more about what we have to offer. Sea Scouts is a co-ed program for the youth between ages 14 and 20. Event highlights: meet our crew, speak with our Sea Scouts and adult leaders to learn about the program, its benefits and opportunities, knot tying, team building challenges, boat maintenance, enjoy light refreshments, and connect with fellow maritime enthusiasts. Sea Scouts are known for their strong sense of camaraderie, leadership development, and a passion for all things aquatic. This open house is an excellent chance to witness this firsthand and understand how you or your child can embark on an adventure of a lifetime. Admission to the Sea Scout Open House is free, and all are welcome. So, whether you're an experienced sailor or just curious about the sea, mark your calendar for June 23rd and come join us for an unforgettable evening of nautical exploration. For more information, contact Dan Scotty, Skipper, Sea Scout Ship 1935, at his email address, dan.scotty@hnescouting.org. Dovely Conservation Land Trust launches a new website, commemorates future headquarters. The Dovely Conservation Land Trust, DCLT, continues to invest in the future of Dudley, Oxford, and surrounding communities. We are excited to share that our new website will launch this month, offering enhanced trail information linked to the popular All Trails app, an online calendar featuring events, signups, news and video content relevant to our local community, and lots of new easy ways to support the organization you love. We believe this will allow us to engage in a wider audience and share our exciting initiatives more broadly. This website was made possible by a capacity-building grant awarded through the Worcester County Green Fund by the Greater Worcester Community Foundation. It was designed and developed by Abbey Design Company. As you may remember, we concluded a busy year in 2025 with a generous gift from the Perron family, which included a historic dwelling and barn, along with the purchase of an adjoining lot. This property connects DCLT's Slater Woods and Mass Audubon's Pierpoint Meadow Wildlife Sanctuary across Dudley, Oxford Road. Our vision for these structures is to transform them into a future headquarters and storage facility for our stewardship equipment. With support from grants provided by the Janet Malzer Humanities Trust and Preservation Massachusetts, in partnership with the 1772 Foundation, we plan to replace the barn roof and begin renovations on the 1830s-era house this year. Mark your calendars for June 13th, as we will officially celebrate our new Perron house on Dudley Oxford Road. Join us to meet the donors, Lou Perron and his sister Julie Perron, and Susan Lyman. The board will share updates on this and other ongoing projects at DCLT and will be available to address any questions from the public. Enjoy light refreshments, connect with like-minded local conservators, and take a peek at our new home. Questions? Contact us at Dudley Conservation Land Trust at gmail.com or check our website at www.dudleyclt.org for the latest developments. We look forward to the positive impact these enhancements will have on our conservation efforts. Your support and engagement are invaluable to us as we work to fulfill our mission. Whether you're a seasoned nature enthusiast or new to conservation, there's a place for you at DCLT. Auburn businessman surpasses $1 million donated to Make-A-Wish. Auburn businessman and Grafton resident Bill Murphy recently surpassed over $1 million in lifetime giving to Make-A-Wish from Massachusetts and Rhode Island. His significant support has helped to grant the wishes of more than 100 local children with critical illnesses. During a special ceremony at the charity's Boston office, Murphy was honored as the newest Wish Legacy member of the Wishing Well Society, made up of major donors to the nonprofit. For two decades, Murphy has tirelessly worked in support of Make-A-Wish, raising funds and awareness through creative, visible, and physically grueling means spanning traditional to unique. Murphy is also the 2025 recipient of the inaugural Wish Champion Award in recognition of his outstanding support of the mission in central Massachusetts. Already somewhat familiar with Make-A-Wish as his cousin was a Wish recipient, and having watched Make-A-Wish stories on ESPN's My Wish series, Murphy was inspired 20 years ago to learn more after seeing the joy of Wish kids at Walt Disney World Resort. From completing a marathon on crutches while raising funds for Make-A-Wish Massachusetts and Rhode Island, to serving on the charity's board of directors, and as a founding member and chair of its Central Massachusetts Advisory Council, his commitment over the years has only grown. In addition to his personal efforts, Murphy also supports the organization through his company, Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation, for which he's the local branch manager in Auburn. This milestone isn't mine. It belongs to everyone who believed in this mission and showed up. Through my Fairway family, my clients, my family, friends, and my business partners, we have collectively crossed over $1 million in donations to Make-A-Wish Massachusetts and Rhode Island. I never could have imagined when this journey started what it would become or what it would mean, reflects Murphy. In 2024, Murphy's Running the World for Wishes campaign brought his support to truly unbelievable levels. He ran 7 marathons on 7 continents in 7 days in the Great World Race. As if that weren't impressive enough, Murphy raised nearly $300,000 for the organization through that effort, funding the wishes of 24 children. Over his years of giving, the mission has been very personal to Murphy. He's involved his own children in his fundraising efforts, and he's formed bonds with many of the Wish recipients whose wishes he's helped grant. That includes Julio Varela from Grafton, whose wish for tuition assistance for his freshman year at UMass Amherst was granted in 2023. Varela was on hand last fall to surprise Murphy as guest presenter of the Wish Champion Award to Murphy at the Wish Night in the Woo fundraiser hosted in Massachusetts, Make-A-Wish, Massachusetts, and Rhode Island. It also includes Bethany Park of Rochdale, who traveled to Walt Disney World Resort in 2017 for her wish. Park first met Murphy when, due to an injury, he crutched 26.2 miles on the track at Worcester State University to fulfill his commitment as a member of Team Make-A-Wish for the Boston Marathon. In 2024, Pac ran the final mile of the Great World Race with Murphy and was inspired to begin training as a runner. Murphy helped Pac train to run the Falmouth Road Race for Team Make-A-Wish. Bill's phenomenal support of our Wish children reflects his relentless belief in hope and possibility, which are both also central to the Make-A-Wish mission, said Make-A-Wish Massachusetts and Rhode Island CEO Sean Halloran. We're incredibly grateful to him for his unparalleled generosity, which sets an inspiring example for our community of supporters. Murphy, a mortgage industry professional and best-selling author of Thriving in the Storm, 9 Principles to Help You Overcome Any Adversity, is always looking for his next challenge and his next way to give back. He sees no time limit to his support for Make-A-Wish and is determined to keep that total growing to advance the charity's vision to grant the wish of every eligible local child. Make-A-Wish doesn't just grant wishes, it gives families something to hold on to during the hottest seasons of their lives. That ripple effect is real, and I felt it in ways I never anticipated. But the work isn't done, asserts Murphy. $1 million is a chapter, not the ending. There are more kids, more families, more wishes waiting to be made real. And there is so much more awareness to raise about what this organization actually does and the profound impact it creates. If you've already been part of this journey, thank you from the bottom of my heart. If you've been on the sidelines and wondering how to get involved, now is the time. The way I see it, the next million starts today. To learn more about Make-A-Wish Massachusetts and Rhode Island and opportunities to get involved in supporting the mission as the charity works to fulfill 130 wishes for local children this summer, visit www.massri.wish.org. Worcester Polytechnic Institute students complete intensive capstone research projects. Worcester Polytech Institute students completed a capstone thesis called The Major Qualifying Project, MQP, a research-driven professional-level project that challenges students to solve the kinds of problems they would typically encounter in their professional discipline. This project is required of all graduating seniors as part of the university's distinctive project-based educational experience. It's inspiring to see the creativity and skills that our students bring to these projects, as well as the professionalism with which they present their research, says Arne Grick, Interim Dean of Graduate Students and Director of the Office of Undergraduate Research. Their experiences managing a major project like this, including identifying a problem and researching all of the implications and possible solutions, while also managing team dynamics over an extended period of several months, sets them up well for success, not only in their first jobs after graduation, but throughout their careers. WPI's innovative undergraduate education is centered around project-based learning, a hands-on approach that offers students opportunities to apply their scientific and technical knowledge to real-world, open-ended problems. These projects produce tangible results that affect the quality of people's lives, an experience that changes both the student and their world. MQPs are usually team-based and often focus on specific issues or needs of an organization that has partnered with the university to sponsor the students' work. In addition to providing practical work experience that proves valuable to future employers, MQPs often lead to publications in peer-reviewed journals, presentations at regional and national conferences, patents, and entrepreneurial ventures. Others become useful innovations and products for their corporate sponsors. Similarly, all Worcester Polytech Institute undergraduates are required to complete a research-driven professional-level project that applies science and technology to address an important societal need or issue. Known as the Interactive Qualifying Project, IQP, this project is a core part of the innovative undergraduate experience at WPI. Centered around project-based learning, this hands-on approach offers students opportunities to help develop thoughtful solutions to open-ended problems. These real-world problems affect the quality of life for the people in the communities where students work, giving students a chance to make a difference in the world before they graduate. All WPI graduates are required to complete an IQP, usually in their junior year, through which they apply science and technology to address an important societal need or issue. About 2/3 of WPI students complete their IQP at one of the university's 50-plus off-campus project centers located in more than 30 countries around the world. The WPI project-based curriculum's focus on global studies brings students out of the classroom and their comfort zones and into the global community to apply their knowledge and to solve problems, said Professor Ken Rissmiller, Professor of International and Global Studies and Associate Dean of the Global School. Students are immersed in all aspects of different culture, from the way people live and work, to the values they hold, to the foods they eat. All valuable perspectives for surviving and thriving in today's global marketplace. They also learn the meaning and magic of teamwork, make a real and meaningful difference in their host community, and gain a competitive advantage for any resume or graduate or professional school application. WPI is a top-tier STEM-focused university with an R1 research classification and global leadership in project-based learning. Founded in 1865, WPI's distinctive approach integrates classroom theory with real-world practice, preparing students to tackle critical challenges through inclusive education, impactful projects, and interdisciplinary research. With more than 70 bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degree programs across 18 academic departments and over 50 global project centers, WPI advances knowledge and innovation in fields such as life sciences, smart technologies, advanced materials and manufacturing, and global innovation.
And now for Lanterns Along Main Street by Charles. The Last Person Who Knows How. I was standing in a small shop not long ago when I heard a sentence that stuck with me. The problem is that he's the last one who knows how to do it. The speaker wasn't talking about some high-tech computer system or complicated piece of machinery. He was talking about a repair that had been done the same way for decades. The man who knew how to do it was nearing retirement. Nobody had replaced him. Nobody had learned the skill. Suddenly, everyone realized that something they had taken for granted might disappear. That conversation got me thinking. Every town has people like that. They're not usually famous. They don't make headlines. Most folks outside their circle have no idea who they are. Yet they possess a kind of knowledge that doesn't exist in instruction manuals. They know how things work. Not just machines, but communities. They're the woman who remembers why a tradition started. The volunteer who knows where the spare keys are kept. The carpenter who can look at an old building and immediately understand how it was constructed. Or the mechanic who can identify a problem by sound alone. They are the librarian who somehow remembers where every odd document is stored, and the farmer who can tell what the weather is likely to do simply by watching the sky. These people carry enormous amounts of knowledge in their heads. What's remarkable is that much of it was never formally taught. It was handed down. One person learned it from another, who learned it from someone before them. For generations, that was how communities worked. You learned by watching. You learned by helping. You learned by making mistakes while somebody older stood nearby and patiently explained why the mistake happened. There is something wonderfully human about that process. The information isn't separated from the person sharing it. A lesson about repairing a fence might come with 3 stories, 2 jokes, and an opinion about the Red Sox. The knowledge arrives wrapped in personality. These days, of course, we can find instructions for almost anything in seconds. Need to replace a faucet? There's a video. Need to bake a bread? Thousands of recipes are available online. Need to identify a bird? An app can probably help. That's all useful, and I'm glad we have those resources. But information and wisdom are not quite the same thing. Information tells you what to do. Wisdom tells you when to do it, when not to do it, and what might happen if you ignore the obvious. That's harder to search for online. I sometimes worry that we don't always recognize the value of these local experts until they're gone. We assume they'll always be around. Then one day they retire, move away, or simply decide it's time to slow down. And suddenly, people are asking questions nobody can answer. How was this event organized every year? Who maintained that old piece of equipment? Why was this tradition started in the first place? The answers often leave with someone who never thought to write them down. Fortunately, I also see reasons for optimism. Across Massachusetts, there are still people willing to teach. Retired tradesmen help younger workers. Grandparents pass along recipes. Volunteers show newcomers how things are done. Coaches mentor assistant coaches. Gardeners share cuttings and advice over backyard fences. The knowledge continues to move from one generation to the next, just as it always has. The trick is making sure we pay attention while the teachers are still here. Ask questions, listen to stories, learn why things are done the way they are. You might discover that what looks like ordinary conversation is actually the transfer of something valuable. Every community depends on people who know things that cannot easily be replaced. Their knowledge helps keep traditions alive, solves problems before they become crises, and quietly holds communities together. If we're lucky, somebody is learning from them right now. Otherwise, someday we'll all be standing in a shop somewhere, shaking our heads and saying, "The problem is that she was the last one who knew how to do it." News from Plummer Place, home of the Northbridge Senior Center. On Wednesday, June 24th, from 12:30 p.m. to 2 p.m., we'll have the Great Summer Kickoff Party and Luncheon, featuring the Driveway Chicks for music. The menu will be chicken salad or tuna salad sandwiches, Red Bliss potato salad, cubed watermelon, potato chips, and lemon squares. This event is $10 per ticket with a 2-ticket limit per person. Northbridge residents have priority, and you must have a ticket to attend. Tickets are on sale now in the main office. You must come to the Senior Center in person to purchase your ticket or tickets. Sponsored in part by a grant from the Northbridge Cultural Council, a local agency which is supported by the Massachusetts Cultural Council, a state agency, Unibank, and the Friends of Northbridge Elders, Fine. Dog Rescue holds safety event for kids. Perfect Life Rescue will host Be Kind and Stay Safe with Dogs on Saturday, June 20th at the Pavilion at Arrowhead Acres in Uxbridge, offering a fun, family-friendly, and educational opportunity to learn how to safely interact with dogs. Designed for children ages 5 and up, the event focuses on building confidence, kindness, and safety around animals through positive, engaging discussions and hands-on learning. Topics will include how to safely approach dogs, understanding dog body language, recognizing when it is and is not appropriate to interact with a dog, and how to respond if a dog seems nervous or unsure. Organizers hope the program will help children better understand animal behavior while encouraging empathy and respect interactions with pets. Perfect Life Rescue sees the program's focus specifically on dog safety education for children are relatively uncommon, despite the importance of helping kids and families understand how to safely and confidently interact with animals. The event will take place at 12 p.m. Attendance is first come, first served, and limited to 200 participants. Be Kind and Stay Safe with Dogs is presented by Perfect Life Rescue, with educational materials provided by the Tortella Family Foundation and the Lakes Animal Friendship Society of Canada, and support provided by 528 Collectibles, Grafton. The Pavilion at Arrowhead Acres is located at 84 Aldrich Street in Uxbridge. A perfect fundraiser at Ravioli's in Millbury. Four Precious Paws Rescue, Incorporated, will hold a fundraiser at Ravioli's in Millbury on Thursday, June 25th from noon to 9 p.m. Raffles and music will be provided for your enjoyment. In addition, Ravioli's will donate towards our cause. Please join us and enjoy the delicious food and the fun. From all of us at Four Precious Paws, we look forward to you joining us for an enjoyable afternoon and evening. For Precious Paws Rescue Incorporated is a nonprofit organization from Northbridge, a cat rescue that specializes in pregnant moms and kittens. 4PP is working with others who trap and help abandoned and stray cats obtain a safe haven to have their young. They receive vet care and nurturing from experienced foster moms and dads to give them a good start and eventually a good home. 4PP currently has 13 kittens for adoption now and in the future when they are healthy enough to go to their forever homes. The Uxbridge Progressive Club invites you to Field Day, Saturday, June 27th. Join us from 1 to 6 p.m. for great food, games, and music. The event will be held at 18 Whiten Street in North Uxbridge and is open to the public. Visit us on Facebook for more information. Kenneth and Janet Zoidema celebrate 70 years. Kenneth and Janet Zoidema of Northbridge will celebrate their 70th anniversary on June 23rd. They were married at St. Peter's Church in Northbridge. Kenneth is retired from Leahy Sheet Metal in Westboro, and Janet retired as owner of Joe's Barbershop in Uxbridge. They have 3 children, 5 grandchildren, and 2 great-grandchildren. Congratulations and happy anniversary, Kenneth and Janet. News from the Uxbridge Senior Center. The following events will be sponsored by the Uxbridge Senior Center, located at 36 South Main Street in Uxbridge. You can call us at 508-278-8622 for information on any of these events. Please note the center will be closed on Friday, June 19th, in observance of Juneteenth. We will reopen on Monday, June 22nd at 8 a.m. Pop-up library on Wednesday, June 24th from 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Books will be on display to check out, library card sign-ups, book hold pickups, etc. This program is being offered by the Uxbridge Free Public Library. Celebrating Frank and Alice Suskie's 80th anniversary on Thursday, June 25th at 12 p.m. This is a special luncheon celebration. Cake will be served, compliments of the Suskies. Space is limited, so please RSVP. You can call us at 508-278-8622. On Friday, June 26th at noon, we'll hold our annual Father's Day celebration. This event is sponsored by the Uxbridge Elderly Connection Incorporated. Kevin Driscoll will be here with Paul Revere and friends. Please be sure to sign up as these events fill up and space is limited. Pout Pond Outing is Monday, June 29th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Please call ahead to RSVP. Transportation is available and you are more than welcome to meet up there. Bring comfortable seats, weather permitting, if rain is held. If it rains, the event will be held at the Senior Center. Call us for more information at 508-278-8622. Ask the Attorney will be Monday, June 29th at 1:30 p.m. with Attorney Ralph Tepper, by appointment only. Please call 508-278-8622 to schedule your appointment. Ask the Nurse will be Tuesday, June 30th from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. This is a free blood pressure clinic with the Salmon Health VNA. RSVP if you'd like to join us for lunch. And Friday, June 26th at noon will be our birthday celebration. We'll have our June birthday cake celebration and celebrate all the June birthdays. The community shuttle from the Uxbridge Senior Center is every Wednesday from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. This shuttle is for seniors and individuals with disabilities to destinations such as the post office, pet care appointments, hair salon or barber, bank, pharmacy, and shopping anywhere in the Uxbridge-Northbridge area. Call 508-278-8622 for more information and to book your free ride. Requests require a 48-hour notice. If you require medical transportation, we are now accepting appointments for that as well. Call 508-278-8622 to schedule your rides. Feel free to contact us at that number, 508-278-8622, or visit us on our webpage at uxbridge-ma.gov/COA or like us on our Facebook page, or by Googling Uxbridge Senior Center for more information on upcoming events. The Douglas Adult Social Center invites you to the annual police barbecue on Monday, June 29th at 12 p.m. Residents of Douglas are invited by the Douglas Police Department for lunch at The Grill on Main. Stop in the center or call to sign up and pick your menu choices. Please sign up by June 20th. You can call us at 508-476-2283. You can also check out our website for additional events, www.douglas-ma.gov/202-adult-social-center-senior-center. The June lunch menu at the Douglas Adult Social Center. Tuesday, June 23rd is chicken salad sandwich, garden salad and fruit. And Tuesday, June 30th, barbecue pork chops, seasoned potatoes, green beans and ice cream. Northbridge Fireworks Show. The Northbridge Annual Fireworks Show will take place on Saturday, July 18th, or a rain date of July 19th. Gates will open at 5 p.m. For more information, visit northbridgefiredepartment.com/annual-fireworks-display.
Auburn's National Spelling Bee Champion. Recently, the 2026 National Spelling Bee, which started in 1925, champion was determined in a dramatic way with a spell-off that was introduced in 2021. The two remaining contestants had 90 seconds to spell correctly as many words as they could. The one with the most correct words spelled won. The winner received $52,000, a medal, and other prizes. Auburn had their national champion speller in 1939, 12-year-old Elizabeth Ann Rice. Elizabeth's family originally came from Maine. Her great-grandfather was a boat builder in the 1870 census. They had 12 children, one being Ernest Rice Sr., who was living in Leicester, according to the 1900 census, and was a farmer. By 1910, he was a wagon driver for a hat factory and living in Grafton. His son, Ernest Pettengill Rice Jr., was born in 1900 and married Jane Durrigan in 1924. Elizabeth was born October 2, 1924, in Utica, New York. The family moved to Byland Ave, Auburn, in the 1930s. In an interview after her win in 1939, Elizabeth states that she got interested in spelling bees in the 7th grade and entered the Central Massachusetts Spelling Championship along with her class that was sponsored by the Worcester Telegram and Gazette. She won her school contest but was 4th in the finals in Worcester. This was after she was in an accident riding her bike and hit a trolley car a few days before the contest. She came out of it with a bruised face, missing tooth, and her arm in a plastic cast. She was given a special cup award for courage. The following year, after winning the school spelling bee, she prepared for the Central Massachusetts competition by going through the dictionary with her father and teacher, spelling all the words. Winning that competition allowed her to go to Washington, D.C. There were 21 students from all over the country. Elizabeth won on the word homogeneity. She was royally treated with a tour of the city, a trip to Annapolis with a parade with the midshipmen in a parade attire. She had lunch with Congressman McCaves and Senator Walsh and Lodge. She saw Mount Vernon, the White House, Capitol Building, and Arlington. She returned by train to Worcester with her trophy, prizes, and $500 and was greeted by a band and parade. She was taken in an open car through the crowds in Worcester and Auburn to the high school athletic field where she was interviewed in front of the gathered students, parents, and dignitaries. Elizabeth went on to have a very full life. According to her obituary, she worked 25 years as the office manager of the Eli Sandman Company of Worcester, 1959 to 1984. She then became the business manager of the Worcester Children's Friends Society, 1984 to 1996. In 1979, she became a runner and completed 6 marathons. 3 of them were in Boston. She did fundraise walks for Marsha Dimes, Avon Breast Cancer Foundation, Multiple Sclerosis, and the Jimmy Fund organizations. Elizabeth volunteered for WISE, VNA Care Network, and Hospice, and when she died at the age of 85 on April 18, 2012, she had been married to James Rizza for 54 years. She had 3 sons, 3 daughters, 19 grandchildren, and 13 great-grandchildren. This article is made possible by the Auburn Historical Society and Museum, 41 South Street. The museum is open Tuesday and Saturday mornings, 9:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., and may be reached at auburnmuseum@verizon.net or 508-832-6856. 5 questions that could change how you see retirement. Saving for retirement is important, but it's only part of the picture. If you're within 5 to 10 years of your target retirement date, it's time to start thinking about what you actually want your retirement to look like. After all, getting to retirement isn't the end goal. It's what you want to do once you're there that matters. Start by asking yourself these 5 questions. When do you want to retire? The age at which you retire matters more than you may realize. Retiring early sounds appealing, but it means saving more and having less time to do it. It can also create gaps in health care coverage and income before key benefits kick in. For example, Social Security benefits can begin at 62, but at a reduced amount. Full benefits are available between ages 66 and 67, depending on birth year, and waiting until 70 means the maximum benefit. Medicare doesn't start until age 65, and penalty-free withdrawals from retirement accounts generally aren't allowed until age 59 and a half. For couples, timing gets even more complicated. Staggering retirement dates can sometimes maximize benefits. In other cases, retiring at the same time works better. A financial advisor can help you sort through these decisions and find the approach that makes the most sense for your situation. How do you want to spend your time in retirement? Many new retirees are surprised to find that having unlimited free time feels disorienting rather than freeing. Thinking ahead about how you fill the days with meaningful activity, whether that's travel, volunteering, pursuing hobbies, or spending more time with family, can make the transition smoother. It helps to sketch out what a typical week, month, or even the first year might look like. If there are big gaps, it's worth thinking now about what might fill them in rewarding ways. Where do you want to live as a retiree? Some retirees stay put, while others downsize or relocate entirely. Either way, it's wise to consider whether a chosen location will work well as you get older, taking into account factors like proximity to family, access to health care, cost of living, and climate. What will your retirement lifestyle cost? It's not uncommon for retirees to discover that their travel, entertainment, or leisure expenses were higher than expected. The more active and involved you plan to be, the more you will likely need to budget. Does your retirement involve giving back? Retirement often brings both the time and motivation to be more generous. Whether the goal is helping family members, donating to charity, or volunteering in the community, it's worth defining those goals and building them into an overall plan. Now that your vision is taking shape, turn it into a plan. Work with your financial advisor to align your savings with the life you want, and revisit that plan as your priorities evolve so your retirement keeps pace with you. This article is written by Edward Jones for use by your local Edward Jones financial advisor. Editorial: Lessons That Last Beyond Graduation. Graduation ceremonies are often filled with familiar traditions, caps and gowns, proud families, diplomas and speeches about the future. Yet beneath those traditions lies something far more important. A graduation is not simply a celebration of academic achievement. It's a reflection of the values, relationships, and experiences that have helped shape young people into the adults they are becoming. The recent graduation of the 8th grade class of 2026 at All Saints Academy offered a powerful reminder of what education can accomplish when it focuses not only on the mind, but also on character. Academic success remains essential. Students need strong foundations in reading, writing, mathematics, science, and critical thinking to prepare for the challenges of high school and beyond. But the most successful schools recognize that education is about more than test scores and report cards. It's also about developing compassion, responsibility, integrity, and a sense of purpose. The accomplishments celebrated during the ceremony reflected those broader goals. Awards honoring kindness, service, leadership, and commitment to community highlight qualities that matter just as much as academic excellence. In many ways, these traits become even more important as students move into adulthood. Knowledge opens doors, but character determines how you people walk through them. One of the most meaningful aspects of the graduation ceremony was its emphasis on gratitude. The graduates took time to recognize the parents, grandparents, teachers, parish leaders, and community members who helped guide them along the way. In a culture that often celebrates individual achievement, it's valuable to remember that no one succeeds alone. Every graduate stands on foundations built by people who invested their time, patience, and encouragement and love. The messages shared during the ceremony also carried lessons that extend far beyond the walls of the school. The call to become peacemakers, bridge builders, and people of kindness speaks to challenges facing communities everywhere. Today's young people are growing up in a world that often rewards division, quick judgments, and conflict. Encouraging students to listen, show respect, and seek understanding is not merely a religious lesson or a school lesson, it's a civic lesson that benefits everyone. The example of St. Francis of Assisi, highlighted during the ceremony, remains relevant 8 centuries after his life. His message of humility, service, compassion, and care for others offers guidance in an era when those qualities can sometimes feel in short supply. Communities are strengthened when individuals choose cooperation over confrontation and generosity over self-interest. As these graduates move on to high school, they will encounter new opportunities and new challenges. They will experience successes and setbacks. They will discover new interests, meet new people, and begin making decisions that help shape their futures. The academic preparation they received will serve them well, but the lessons of character, faith, kindness, and service may prove even more valuable. Graduations often focus on what comes next. That's understandable. The future is exciting, yet they also provide an opportunity to appreciate what has already been accomplished. The class of 2026 leaves All Saints Academy with more than diplomas. They leave with friendships, memories, values, and experiences that will remain with them for years to come. Library program celebrates New England's maritime heritage. The Gladys E. Kelly Public Library will celebrate the diverse maritime heritage of New England coastal region by presenting a performance by Parents' Choice Award-winning storyteller Davis Bates. Entitled Sea Songs and Stories, From Shore to Deep Water, the program will involve the audience in a variety of cultural traditions. It will include ghost ballads and sea chanties, Native American stories, folk tales, and family tales. There will be plenty of singing-alongs and even a short lesson in how to play music with spoons from a kitchen drawer. Pete Seeger called Davis a thoughtful, creative, human, and a fantastic storyteller. Davis' traditional and participatory performance style empowers and encourages audiences of all ages to join in the fun and to take the songs and stories home with them to share with others. He also encourages listeners to remember and share stories and songs from their own family and cultural traditions. Davis Bates has been singing and sharing stories for over 47 years in schools, libraries, colleges, and community settings around New England and across the country. His recording of Family Stories won a Parents' Choice Gold Award and was named one of the year's best audio recordings by Booklist magazine. Davis has also served as director and consultant for several local and regional oral history and folk art projects. Davis lives in the village of Sherburn Falls, and when he isn't collecting or learning stories, he spends his time gardening and working with Clapping Hands Farm Arts Camp in North Carolina and volunteering with the Family Table Collaborative on Cape Cod. The performance will take place at the Gladys E. Kelly Public Library on Thursday, June 25th at 6:30 p.m. Be sure not to miss this wonderful program of traditional interactive entertainment celebrating the magic and power of the sea. This program is funded in part by a grant from the Webster Cultural Council, a local agency supported by the Massachusetts Cultural Council, and by the Friends of the Gladys E. Kelly Public Library. For information, call 508-949-3880. This community news program is a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you'd like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org. Or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. I'm David Jaffe, along with Jennifer Ann Kowiak. Thank you for listening.